8, Romans chapter 8. I said this morning I was going to preach on more than conquerors, and we are more than conquerors. And, you know, we're getting in that time where people feel like, you know, the church is going under and ministries are disappearing and all this stuff. But I got news for you. You can't stop God's word. You can't even slow it down. You might hinder it. You might get in the way, but watch out. You get run over. Amen. Well, he's removed a lot of people. Amen. And so I'm not discouraged on God's work. There's been times worse. There's been times worse than this. And we'll get through these times. Amen. We're going to get through them. Let's start with verse 35, if you will. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecutions, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, that's governments, principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. And we're supposed to already count ourselves as dead anyway. And you can't kill a dead man. You can't even hurt a dead man. We died in Christ when we received him. Amen. 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 We have to be careful not to read the Bible like a Reader's Digest promise book. We read these scriptures, but here's what you need to do when you read scriptures. When you get through reading it, say who, what, when, and where, and why. Why did God write this? Why did he inspire the Apostle Paul to write this down? And think about that. So if you think about the book of Romans, the reason it's named Romans, it was written to the church at Rome. Not the church of Rome, not the Catholic church. It didn't even exist for three generations. It's written to the persecuted church at Rome. Now, they were persecuted because they were Christians. They were not heathen. They didn't worship false idols and things like that. And Rome didn't like anybody like that. But they were Roman citizens, so they still had rights. They had rights. You got to remember, Rome was the first republic, not America. And Rome was a very strong republic, and the citizens had great rights if you were a citizen of Rome, if you were born a citizen of Rome. The Apostle Paul himself used that once to save his own life. He said, are you going to kill a citizen of Rome without letting him have a trial at Rome? You know, and that's why he ended up there in Rome. And so therefore, think about that. Why did the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, write this to the Romans? Well, first of all, we know they were being persecuted. And they needed to know that God is still in control. Now, they knew nothing about the Old Testament God. These people in Rome knew nothing about the Old Testament. These were not Jews. They were Gentiles. And so they didn't have the history of the Jew to show them that God's been true and faithful through all the ages to his people. And now Paul's having to write to them, the Holy Spirit's having him to write, to reassure them that it's going to be all okay. It's going to be all right. You are going to be more than conquerors. Now, why would he use that word conquerors, and why would he use the word more? Here's why. Think about it. He wrote to a congregation of Romans who had seen the Roman legions go out, the mightiest army that the world's ever known, and conquer countries and bring citizens back to Rome as slaves and parade them before everybody as the conquering army. They'd seen the Roman armies and the Roman generals go out and capture leaders, kings, generals, and leaders of other countries and bring them back to Rome to parade them through the street in order to mock them and degrade them. They'd seen these armies go out and come back with wagon loads of valuables, gold and silver and all these things that they'd taken. They had conquered other countries and had taken their treasure. They saw them bring kings back chained up, making them walk down the street naked, chained, to humiliate them. And so these Roman citizens knew what it was to be a conqueror, mighty and powerful conqueror. So think about that when you read Romans. And then the Apostle Paul, he wrote to them and he said, now look here, all these things may come against you, but I want you to remember in verse 37, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We're more than a Roman army. We're more than a Caesar. We're more than the most powerful republic on planet Earth. Amen. And we need to be reminded of that. We belong to the most powerful king in the universe. And we're his army. And his army's never failed. And we're people of his pasture. And he takes care of his people. Amen. Amen. Now, so how are we supposed to be more than conquerors? Well, think about this. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Turn over there real quick. I don't have but about four scriptures tonight, and we'll have a business meeting. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, if you look at verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Now, what does that mean? They're not made out of things of this world. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, if you're going to have a more than conqueror army, you're going to have some mighty weapons. Well, we've got the arsenal of God on our side. We've got the mightiest things that are on planet Earth or in the universe, and which are not temporal things as a sword or a gun, but they're spiritual things. We're in a spiritual battle. And so if you're going to be more than a conqueror, you better have the best weapon. You better have the best weapon. And you know Ephesians chapter 6, he says, put on the whole armor of God. And you better be covered by the Word of God and the power of God and the presence of God. You better have that armor on. I tell you what, you go out there against this world on your own and they'll eat you alive. Amen. Amen. You go up against the devil and his forces, they'll knock you down and stomp on you after they get you down and laugh at you. So you better have on the right armor, which is the Word of God and the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you better have a good weapon. Hebrews 4:12, our weapon's sharper than a two-edged sword. And it's so powerful, it divides joint and marrow. It'll cut through joint and marrow, and it's a divider of the spirit and the soul and the body. This thing right here is the most powerful weapon on planet Earth right here. I preached in a lot of jail services, a lot of jail services. And chain gang and jail, and Chester County Jail was probably the worst one. And I had down there, they didn't invite them to come to the chapel. They invited me into the cell. Well, I ain't that tough. It had bars between me and them. But there's a little walkway about this long right here, about the size of this platform, and it had bars over here, a wall over here, and a window over there, and a door over there to get out into the hallway. And they had another door coming into the cell block, and they had four cells inside the cell block, and they had a congregating area, and they'd come out there. Well, I'd walk in, it's on Monday Night Football, and I'd walk over there, and I'd turn the TV off for football, and all the demons in hell would break loose on that one right there. And then finally I'd get them settled down, and I'd say, I'm here to preach to you. I want to minister. I want to pray for you. Anybody got any prayer requests? You know, some old boy, he done got called. He's scared. Yeah, pray for me, you know. And so we'd pray. And but listen, I've had them heckle me in jail. I've had them do that in church. I've had them laugh at me in jail. Oh, they've done that in church too, haven't they? I'd have them call me a liar and a crook and everything else in jail. Oh, they did that in church too, didn't they? But I'd go in there and those guys are just, They just make noise and I just get louder. I just get louder. Because see, I knew I had the most powerful thing in there. I knew I was more than a conqueror. They'd already been defeated. The whole devil done defeated them. And I come in there and I wanted them to know I wasn't defeated. I was the winner in there. And I'd preach the word of God and I wouldn't hold back a thing. And I tell you what, I seen many men get saved in jail. Many men. They'd have me go to the Army Reserve once a month. I'd go to the Rock Hill Army Reserve up here. It used to be on Cherry Road. I don't think it's there anymore on Cherry Road, is it? But Sheriff's Department or something there now. But I'd go in there and preach, and those big old guys, you know, they'd come once a month and to practice or whatever they call that. And when I first get there, they'd be outside lined up doing roll call or something, you know. And then after that, they had a choice. They could work, cleaning or something, or they could come to chapel. The law gives the military the right to go to chapel, and they had a right to come to chapel. It was on Sunday morning. And so about two-thirds of them would come in there with me. And I was just a young preacher, you know, in my 30s or 20s or whatever, you know. And they thought that little old skinny white boy, because most of them was black, they thought that little old skinny white boy just wasn't going to cut the rug, you know. So man, I'd lead them in a song. And when I first started going to Rochester, family went with me, mom and daddy, and they had the two boys and three boys, one real little, and they had the daughter. And that's when they were all young. They went to Blessed Hope with us. And they'd sing bluegrass to those black guys. And the guys loved it. They loved it. They'd sing that bluegrass gospel, and they loved it. And then I'd get up, I'd say, okay, now, open your Bible. They didn't have no Bible. And I just let loose and preach. And I might have been bold or I might have been stupid, but I'd see one of them back there like that right there. I'd say, wake that guy up, I'm trying to preach to him. They'd be like, whoa, wake him up. And then the Lord sent me this little sergeant about that tall. And he wouldn't come into the service. We closed doors, but they had a little glass on the service, and he'd watch. And every time one of them goes to sleep, he'd tap on that glass and go. And I asked him why he did that. He said, well, here's the way I look at it. They came in there to hear you to get out of work. And I don't want them to sleep. They ought to be working. I don't even think they ought to be in chapel. They ought to be working. But if they're coming in there, they're going to stay awake. After a couple of years, that guy walked in one day. He said, Reverend, he wasn't about that tall. Reverend, who's your CO? I said, what? He said, who's your boss? I said, God. He said, that's not what I mean. Who's your supervisor? I said, God. He said, that's not what I'm talking about. Who tells you what to do? I said, God. He hadn't ever met an independent Baptist. He said, I need to talk to you. I said, all right. He said, you're keeping these guys too long. I said, well, law says they get an hour. He said, that's right. Law says that. He said, but we have formation and they're supposed to work. And I have a job assigned to them. And after work, they're supposed to come to class. And you cutting in on my class time. I said, now, wait a minute. You don't let them in until 10 or 15 minutes late every time I come here. I said, so you cutting into my preaching time. He said, well, who do I talk to about you? I said, he said, don't say it. Walked on. Why would I be scared of him? I got the most powerful weapon in the world. I mean, we are so easily intimidated by the world and the flesh and the devil. And most Christians are so timid because they don't know that we're already more than conquerors. We've already won. We'll be talking from the position of a winner, not the position of a defender. Well, you're too bold. The winner always is. I ain't never seen a winner get up there and say, well, I'm sorry, I won. And I really didn't mean to win. I don't want to hurt nobody's feelings or nothing. If he talks like that, he ain't never going to win anyway. Amen. So we got to have the best weapons. If we're going to be more than conquerors, get you a Bible. I mean a real Bible. Get you a KJV. That thing's been around over 400 years, and it still works. Everywhere I've ever preached, I've seen those big old prisoners, big old soldiers break down and cry like little babies. And you say, well, I can't understand the King James Bible. Well, them old crooks and liars and thieves and people won't pay their child support and men in the army, they can understand it. I don't know what's wrong with you. You just want to dumb it down because you don't like what it says. Amen. Got to have the best weapons. I'm not going to go in there with a one-edged sword when I got a two-edged sword. I want one that's been tried and true. It's been proven. Amen? It's never failed. Amen. We better go on. I can see smoke rolling out some ears over here. Hebrews 5. Turn to Hebrews 5 real quick. I said it wouldn't be long, but you know that how that is. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8 and 9 says this, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto them that like him. No, wait, you must have NIV. Unto them that, if they want to, no, that must be the New King James. Let's see again. Unto all them that obey him. Now, you're not going to have a conquering army if your soldiers don't obey you. They'll run. You know, one of the problems that, and I know I ain't supposed to talk about this because it's not politically correct anymore, but you know one of the problems with the Civil War? The Southern soldiers would quit when it was time to plant. When they got planted, they go back to fight. And then they quit when it come time to harvest. And when the harvest was done, they go back to fight. And we almost lost the Revolutionary War on account of that. Washington soldiers walked off and left him many times because they said they had to go home. It was pig killing time. Hog killing time. Or either it was planting time. Or it was harvesting time. And that's one of the reasons that the Americans lost some battles. The guys were farmers. They had to keep the farm going. Well, let me tell you something. If God run his army like that, we wouldn't have a church. We're in this thing for the long haul. And we're supposed to be obedient soldiers. Now, if we're not going to be obedient, we'll just quit and go home and leave church alone because we'll bring more harm to the church than we will glory to the church. We got so many in our army that's half in and half out. I like that old saying, get in, get out, or get run over. I mean, God didn't call part-time soldiers. And by the way, what more important work is there to do that we would leave his word? We got to follow orders. We have a captain. The captain of our salvation. And we better be victorious. And the only way we can be victorious is be obedient. Hold on. If you ain't mad yet, hold on. Now, listen to this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 again, I want you to notice this. In verse 4, he said, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, our weapons are not, they're not weapons like metal or steel. Our weapons are spiritual weapons. Now, unlike our army, which marches on its belly, you ever heard that? If you don't feed them, they can't fight. In this army, we're fed spiritual meat. And we don't march on the things of this world. We march on what he feeds us spiritually. And the way we get fed spiritually is through the Word of God. Now, if Christians don't use the Word of God, they're going to lose their battle. Amen. I used to try to argue with people. I'm not a good arguer. I used to try to argue with people. But now, people have started questioning me about the faith or about Christianity. And I've had a long time to learn scriptures. I'll say, what about 2 Corinthians 10, 4? What about 1 John 5, 11 through 13? What about John 6:36? What about, and I just give them scripture. And they don't even know what it is, so I have to turn and read it to them. Because there's no need for me to argue with you. I can't convince you. I can't convict you. I can't convert you. It's the Word of God that fights. And that's why the church is losing today. They've left the Word of God. They're depending on programs and entertainment and all these things. And entertainers and baseball players and football players and all famous people and all that. Why don't the preachers just get up and cry aloud and spare not and show my people their sin? Quote the Word of God and let God do the work. Why don't we earnestly contend for the faith like Jude said in verse 3? Earnestly. You know what earnestly means? Work at it. Hard work at it. Do the work hard. Earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. And if you ain't willing to earnestly do it, you're not willing to fight. And if you're not willing to fight, you'll lose every war you ever had. We went into Korea and Vietnam not meaning to win. So we didn't. And a lot of people died because our leaders had no intention of winning. Now, Iraq's going back. Iraq's now siding with Iran. You know why? We didn't finish the job. Now Afghanistan's going back. You know why? We didn't go to win. I like Trump, but I didn't agree with him when he talked about those places. There's too many good men died to say that we shouldn't have done it. I say if we didn't go to win, we shouldn't have went. And the Christian life, same way. He said it's better not to start than to start and not finish right. He said if you're going to build a house, you'll sit down and figure out what it costs you. Because if you don't, you're not going to complete the house, and the whole world's going to look at it and say, I knew they didn't have it in them. I knew they wasn't smart enough. I knew they couldn't do it. And it's the same way with God's work. If we're going to do something, we need to do it with all our might. You know why a lot of churches just fail? They never intended to win in the first place. They just figured they'd have a place to go sit on Sundays and have a little Bible study. And then the devil comes in and tears that all to pieces. Right. Now, if we're going to be more than conquerors, we're going to have the best weapons. We're going to have to follow orders. We're going to have to be obedient. And the Christian life is a fight. It's not a fight to be saved. We're already saved. But it's a fight in order to be the winner that God wants us to be, the conqueror, to be more than conquerors. Now, there's nothing can separate us from the Lord Jesus Christ. He just gave us an arm-long list. There's nothing can separate us. But if we're going to be more than conquerors, we're going to have to get the best weapons, the Word of God. We're going to have to follow the orders, the Word of God. We're going to have to obey the Master, the Word of God. He sends out the orders. And then, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Look at verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. You see that word all? That means everybody got saved. We shall all be changed. Now, he says this, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, who uses trump? You go to battle for trumps, or you retreat for a trumpet, or you sound the victory for the trumpet. Okay? So he's sounding the victory. At the last trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass that is written, the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. If you want the victory and you join this army, listen to me, if you join this army and you want the victory, you're going to have to keep the best weapons. You're going to have to follow orders and be obedient, and you're going to have to fight, earnestly contend for the faith, and you'll get the victory. And then in Revelation 21, 1 through 7, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh, there it is, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Now, that's how you get the victory. Amen. That's how you get the victory. You get the best weapons. You follow orders. You be obedient. And then you get into battle. It's a battle. And then God will give you the victory. Now, the Christian life is all through the battle. The terms are used: race, fight, battle. I don't know where Christianity, other than biblical ignorance, got the idea that we're to sit around and soak up the blessings of God and not have to fight about it. He told the Romans, he said, now you've seen the overcomers, you've seen the victors. Now I want to tell you what a Christian victor looks like. I want to tell you what an overcomer of Jesus Christ looks like. He said, but you got to do this first. You have to look. You got to get you a Bible. You got to follow orders. You got to get in the fight, and then God will give the victory. Don't get me wrong. I don't like the political situation, and I've heard more than once lately they don't like to talk about politics anymore. But that's the same thing the Germans said before the Nazis took. But listen to me. I don't like the situation. But did you know, and who's in the White House or the Senate or the House of Representatives, that does affect our faith. But it does not defeat our faith. It may hinder us, but it will not destroy us. In the worst days of Rome, there was a church. A real church. It was underground, but there was still a real church. And in the worst days of this country, it may be underground, but there will always be overcomers, because there will always be people that follow Jesus Christ and Him alone. I've got the victory. I'm already a winner. You can't defeat a believer. I'll chop your head off. Well, I'll wake up in glory. Well, I'll spray the COVID on you. Well, I'll get sick. He'll heal me. If he don't, I'll wake up in glory. Amen. Well, I'll cuss you. Well, I've been cussed before. Done a little cussing myself before I got saved. It don't hurt. Don't hurt a bit. Used to hurt my feelings till I got saved. I ain't got no feelings anymore, so it don't hurt them no more. Amen. I like that one. Write that down somewhere. Now, look here. Right now, our church having a little hard, not much compared to other churches. We're having a little hard time getting attendance. You know, people are scared, and some ought to be. There's some people ought to be. They ought to stay home.